Okay, we're into the third hour, and this is actually Michael Collins Piper's hour on his program, and he's been kind enough to go ahead and allow us to carry the show over into the third hour. And Michael is there, and I want to bring him on, and I know it's kind of unusual because it's his program, but I want him to introduce himself and to give a quick bio on his background, how he's been, and I guess for want of a better word, brought to the truth movement about trying to bring out what's going on in the world, really, behind the scenes, or if you do your research, a lot of it's just right in our face, but you have to help, you know, you need some help connecting the dots sometimes, and this is an excellent program to listen to, because this man, I mean, he's actually one of the most popular hosts on the network, and I'm not stepping on John Stadtmiller there, because it's John Stadtmiller is obviously, you know, he's the principal of the network, and his program is top of the line, and probably the most popular, and Mike's is right in there with it. Mike, are you there? Michael?
Oh, yeah, hi. I want to say hello to everybody generally, but to you specifically, Eric. I've been hearing quite a bit about you, and I'm glad that I'm able to throw this extra hour open to you and your guests. So I've only been listening in for about 10 or 15 minutes, but what I heard has been damned interesting. But I'll tell you what, one of the primary reasons I was actually thinking about not doing my program tonight, I just got back into town, as you may know, from 3 weeks in Malaysia, and I have a lot of things to catch up on. But I wanted to, if all I have to say tonight is this, I want to say, first of all, thank you to Christopher Boleyn, my friend, for doing such a fantastic job in sitting in for me during my absence. So thank you for that, Christopher. Are you there?
Yeah, Chris is here.
Christopher, are you? I can't hear you, Christopher.
He's not up yet, but he's listening in.
Oh, I hear the music coming up. Are we at the break already?
Yes, we are.
So, all right.
I know, it comes up quick. You know that better than anyone. We'll let you go ahead and take back over on the other side and finish off what you were saying.
All right.
We'll go to a break real quick, and we'll get Chris back on the line. Make sure he can hear you.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who...
This is a Piper report. I'm not sure if we're having technical difficulties. This is normally Michael Collins Piper's show, and Chris Boleyn has been sitting in while Michael has been in Malaysia. And Michael, are you on the air?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. And
okay.
Christopher, are you there? Christopher Boleyn, you there?
Christopher's probably so tired from sitting
I'm
in
here.
For me, he fell asleep.
No, I'm here.
No, I heard him. There he is. Now go ahead and continue on with your...
Christopher, I just wanted to thank you live and kind of in person for doing such a bang-up job sitting in for me.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure, Mike.
I appreciate it. I've had a chance to listen to a couple of the programs, and you just jumped right in there and did a hell of a job, and I appreciate that.
Your show is a great show coming from Washington. It gave me an opportunity to get some of these issues out.
Yeah, well, you did it, too. And I want to say a special hello, then, to... my friend Tony Hilder, who I've known for at least 20 years. I've been trying to figure out how long it has been since I first met Tony when he came to Liberty Lobby's headquarters in Washington. And I only see Tony once about every 10 years, but I see his videos and I hear about him from a lot of people around the country and around the world. So I just want to say hello to Tony.
Anthony, sir. Mr. Hilder. Hopefully he can hear you. He's still online. He's showing that he's still online.
Okay.
What have you done? You know, I'm interested in what you've done in Malaysia, because I've heard that Jimmy Walter went over there with another filmmaker and exposed the whole 9-1-1 story to the Islamic world, and that should be carrying from the Far East to the Mideast shortly. And I know you've got some stories. Let's hear about it.
Well, I'll mention that then, but I also want to say hello to Barry Shamish. We've never met in person. We've had some correspondence years and years ago, and I appreciated very much some of the good things he said about my work, and I've certainly tried to say some good things about his work. So hello, Barry.
And hopefully, Barry, are you there? Can you hear us? Barry.
Well?
Barry. Well, I'm sure he's on the line, and hopefully he can hear you, and the producer will bring him up here.
There you go.
Barry, you there?
Yeah, very nice to hear from you, Michael. Always a pleasure. No, this is the first time I've heard from you.
Yeah, first time we've actually talked, yeah.
Yeah, well, then we'll call it always a pleasure.
That's right, exactly.
Wow.
Well, and again, this brings us back to whether it's 6 points of separation, whatever term you want to throw out on it, that everything we're all experiencing, a lot of it that is not good from our perspective, is all tied together, and that at some point, not only do we need to reinvigorate ourselves, and I don't want to say join hands because that kind of sounds a little, you know, whatever.
Righty.
But hey, I'm pretty secure in myself, and I don't have a problem saying that. That at some point we need to join hands and join our efforts and band together and not only help reinvigorate other people in their own individual efforts that are usually not about themselves, that are about a much larger topic, whether it be, like in my own situation, the United States merchant marine, maritime industry, seamen basically at large, the issues of foreign flag operations that are going on all over the world, now being used in the military, that come from the United States merchant marine or false flag or even the issues of outsourcing. These people who are basically, it's internationalists versus nationalists. It's public trusts that are being attacked by private trusts and private parties. It's the private money trust. It's the oil cartel. It's all these collectivist programs of enormous wealth and power that are actually being turned against the people by defect or default or even intent in many occasions, that we all need to at some point reinvigorate all these ties, all these connections, no matter how far they go back, how long it's been since we've talked to each other, to move forward and continue to fight each and all of the individual issues, including 9-1-1, including the war in Iraq, including everything else that is going on, whether it be depleted uranium, the issues in Israel, the issues in Palestine, the issues in Malaysia. And I would like what Anthony Hilder just touched on, is, Michael, could you please go into what you experienced, what you saw, what went on in Malaysia, because that brings a whole other region of our globe into this. And a lot of people, if not tens of millions of people, into a rude awakening, for want of a better way of saying it, into what is really going on and how the people of the world are starting to wake up.
Okay, well, basically, it's actually very, very simple. I had been over to Malaysia 2 years ago. I was hosted at that time by Masias Chang, who's the former political secretary to Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, the longtime prime minister, and I got to know quite a few people in Malaysia at that time, and my books were published over there. Since that time, another publisher has picked up those books and has been widely distributing them. And this past week, actually, I say 3 weeks ago, my publisher was instrumental in setting up an international dialogue as part of the International Islamic Fair, which they sponsored in Kuala Lumpur. And obviously, they asked me to come over as a speaker, and they asked me for recommendations as to some other speakers. And I said, well, I said, you definitely got to get William Rodriguez, the 911 survivor. And in the course of that, they also invited Jimmy Walter over, and there were the three of us, three lonely Americans in Southeast Asia, talking about some issues that that they're always surprised in Malaysia to hear Americans talking about. And I can tell you that Jimmy and well, William in particular, because William has this personal story to tell. William presented his story in a way that captured the attention of the people in Malaysia because, you know, here is a 911 survivor and, you know, 911 has been blamed on Islam, basically, and here is a prominent 911 survivor coming over there and saying, well, there's a little bit more to the story than you've been told and we've been told. So, needless to say, it was a, all of my experiences in Malaysia have been very rewarding, but I felt particularly good about seeing what William was able to accomplish there, and certainly Jimmy too. But it was very historic in that regard. And I can tell you that when William and I then spoke at the International Islamic University, crowd of about 300, 400 people, all students. I had spoken there before and had a very good reception, and again, this time it was very, very rewarding, very satisfactory, because these are young people from all over the world, including the United States, who are over there studying in Malaysia at this distinguished university. And it was good because they got the opportunity to hear Americans, that is, well, and also, of course, Jimmy. We spoke with Jimmy Walter. We also spoke at the three of us spoke at the University of Malaya in Kuala Lumpur, at the Center for Civilizational Dialogue. And it was important in that these students were able to hear Americans articulating opposition to the policies of the Bush administration and the New World Order crowd, and to let them know that we don't go along with what George Bush has to say and what he's been doing to the world at large. So it's I probably said more than necessary to convey what was all around very good experience, and I would like to think very productive in terms of what we were able to convey to the people of Malaysia. And, you know, just by coincidence, 1 week after the International Islamic Fair, Dr. Mahathir Mohamad's Perdana Global Peace Foundation, an organization, was holding its second major conference. There were over 1,500 people there. Dr. Mohamad and Matthias Chang asked me to stick around for that, and I spent two additional weeks in Malaysia, and I'm going to be doing an extensive report on it in American Free Press. There were a lot of distinguished speakers there from around the world. Two former deputy or assistant attorney generals of the United Nations who resigned in protest over the conspiracy against Iraq. Dr. Helen Caldicott, the former, the very well-known critic of the nuclear weapons industry. She was among the speakers, and it was a real experience to be able to meet with these people and to share ideas. And I can tell you that more and more people are coming around. You know, we all have our differences. You know, this is what's interesting about the country of Malaysia. They have profound differences among themselves, differences in religion, differences in culture, differences in ethnicity, and yet they all manage to stick together. And I think Americans and all people of the world can learn a lesson from that. You know, to reflect back on what you were saying, Eric, and I'm going to wrap it up here. I've been chatting here for a few minutes. I guess a good maritime analogy would be the sinking of the Titanic. The Titanic is sinking, and we're all going down together. But we can't make it every man for himself. We got to look out for everybody else and save as many people as possible.
Yes, agreed. And at some point, the Titanic is not necessarily the United States. This whole issue of globalization, for every action, there is an equal and opposing reaction. And not only what they have done by moving or pushing or forcing this issue of New World Order and globalization and world government, they have awoken not only the American people and, quote-unquote, the sleeping giant, but the sleeping giant of the people around the world who are, most, for the most part, honest, decent, hardworking people who want to have a family, protect it, live a normal and stable life, and not be affected intentionally by these unfair market practices that are being manipulated at higher levels intentionally, so that just like throwing dirt and sifting it in a sifter, to get rid of the aggregate and find the gold or sift it for whatever type of mineral you might be looking for. That's our precious resources, our own personal wealth that is being sifted out by turning up the heat. I mean, they're literally using corporatist philosophies like pasteurization, where you heat things up, do so under pressure, agitate it to basically make it all the same and homogenize it. And they're taking things like that, like even another example I like to throw out is just-in-time manufacturing, where they're using just-in-time employment and even within federal services to where a hurricane hits, they hire people for it, even as public servants, which is the way we've never done business that way. And even if you look at Ford and others who have tried to take these corporatist philosophies, these collectivist philosophies, these industrial philosophies, and apply them to either plants, like Ford tried to grow rubber trees down in South America that didn't work because he didn't bring in a botanist and specialist to actually, you know, take care of the plants and grow them as they needed to be. And it applies to human beings. We are not machines, and we do not want to be replaced by machines necessarily or treated as such. And that to apply these type of philosophies to any kind of an organism, whether it's a plant, animal, and especially a human being, and one thing I like to throw out too is like even on animals, the issue of RFIDs. If you can put an RFID in an animal and you walk that animal around at any length of time during the day and you put it on that leash, at some point in the time and day, that RFID tag is associated and tied to you. So at some point, keeping all of these industrialist or corporate type philosophies or games or techniques or tactics to basically put in a form of control that is so subtle that we don't even realize what is going on need to be fought at every, place or position that we may find these things going on, whether it's in the courts, whether it's in technology, whether it's in public trust or resources, whether it's in government or corporations. And that at some point, with the enormous wealth that is in the world right now, and even as our, you know, country was intended to be at some point, you know, to where our public trust grew on into perpetuity, to where we lived in a free society, because all those that had come before us had put into society, so that at some point, literally, we were living, you know, you've seen like Star Trek and all these other shows out there, in an entirely different world than what we see right now. And if, like, the private money trust was actually a public trust, just one thing like that, one change like that, oil resources were actually going into public trust to pay for medical benefits and other issues, we would literally be living in an entirely different world than what we are currently experiencing. And people like you and others with a different way of thinking, with an ability to get out and get heard and to express the truth, whether they be about 911, depleted uranium, water.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The Council to Get Some Food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Michael Collins Piper, and Christopher Bolin has been filling in, and I am Eric Schein, and we've actually been afforded the third hour here by Michael to carry this over, to try to draw, and we've gone kind of across the spectrum, different issues, and try to draw them all together so that people can really see and understand that, you know, hey, we're fighting the same thing, whether you want to call it the beast government that has absolutely just gone off the deep end, the elites, the corporatist or the corporatocracy, the crimocracy, whatever name you want to put on it, and that at some point we need to band together. I apologize before the commercial break. I did not hear the music coming up, and that was a technical difficulty. But we have a caller. What I want to do is bring Michael back up and also Christopher Bolin, and we'll get back to some of our other featured guests. But I want to go ahead and bring on, we have a caller, and I believe it's Roger.
Yeah, thanks, folks. Thank you, folks. A question for you, Barry. I hope you're still in the loop there. Just a quick comment first. As I take it, Thomas Sowell can be trusted in this, that the Malays are certainly holding a united front against the indigenous Malays against the Chinese imports over the last 100 years or so, who are cleaning their clocks in such matters as showing up for work on time and putting in a full day, and therefore taking all the government postings and such, notwithstanding the best efforts at affirmative action to redress those inequities. Now, Barry, I wanted to ask, I was hoping you were familiar with and maybe had a quick couple of words on the current status, that is, of Israeli libertarian stream columnist named of Joel Boehnerman.
Sure.
He had sponsored Joel Skousen some few years back on his trip to Israel. Anyway, Mr. Joel Boehnerman's attack in an article, I was surprised it was published in the Philadelphia Inquirer. It was entitled, Is Israel a U.S. Welfare State? And one of the premise he lays out was that there's enough brains and money in Israel that they don't have to schnorr, that is Hebrew for beg, off the United States. It's kind of an embarrassment. And as well, that among the best things that Israel can do is to get out of the United Nations as well.
Oh, good for Joel. Was this recently?
No, I'm sorry. This is about 10, 12 years ago.
Oh, of course. And you're talking about my good friend Joel Boehnerman before he was poisoned in Washington. Look, Joel wrote the first book about the Bush family. It's called Crimes of a President. He went to Washington to do further research. He was given a tie by a fan who really admired him and had a spare tie. He put on the tie. That evening, his neck swelled. He phoned his wife and said something is wrong. Flew back to Israel. He had cancer throughout his neck within 4 months. Since then, Joel has not dared like he used to dare. He was poisoned. Joel's cousin is a good friend of mine, but on the issue of Wayne Owens, he simply backs off. It's a Mormon issue. Wayne Owens was a Mormon. He was murdered in Tel Aviv. He was murdered by the Shimon Peres gang, and you got to stay far, far away from that if you're a Mormon, apparently. Joel, I consider my close friend. Joel Skousen, I consider my close friend. But there have been some changes since 10, 12 years ago.
Joel
Boehnerman is right. Israel should not take one penny from the States. We would be much better off taking no aid. There are many people like Joel, like me, who believe that a country with a $100 billion economy doesn't need an extra $3 billion. But you have to understand that the United States is using Israel through the Council on Foreign Relations to do nasty stuff that we don't want. Who wants to be in the America's pocket? Yes, he was right from the very beginning.
God bless you all.
Bless you.
Thanks, Roger. Now, Barry, thanks for that response. Anyone else really want to? I'm going to kind of open it up here, and if anybody really wants to step forward and grab the mic and either kind of draw things together or throw something else in. Dr. Parker, haven't heard from you in a little bit. Do you want to go ahead and chime in? I know you're very focused on the natural resource issue, especially the water. But you are a doctor. You have just passed the bar. I'm not sure if you're familiar with what's going on in the courts, but, you know. Go
Hello?
Ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it was very good.
I'd like to make a couple comments about the law in concerning what's called the cooperative partnership agreements. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. There's a House of Representatives bill 4560, which is called the Clean Water Trust Act, and in this is an allocation of about $7.5 billion to be distributed to various activities to try to develop another way to control the rural and small town systems of the water supply, and a small victory was made to try to go against this act. This happened about a week ago, where the German company RWE has withdrawn their $10 billion water infrastructure business from America. And the reason they gave was because I think they listened to the Rick Adams show. Because on Rick Adams, really, I was interviewed on Adams.
The Germans
heard
it. We're going to break. Keep that thought. Maintain that thought, and we'll get back to you on the other side of this.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to break real quick.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
This is the Piper Report. Derek Shine sitting in for Michael Collins Piper. He is on the show today. He's just gotten back from travel in Malaysia. And we also have on the program Anthony Hilder, Christopher Berlin, Dr. Wynn Parker, Barry Shamish, and we also had on Howard Zinn earlier on to kind of hopefully set the tone a little bit and to draw all these things together. That we're really at a crossroads, and whether you want to look at 911 as the line that's been drawn in the sand, you know, the private interest versus the public interest and the public themselves, you know, individuals, we're reverting back to a program of feudalism, of serfs and indentured servants and slaves, to where we are again becoming seen as nothing more and nothing less than property. And at some time, we need to break free of these bonds that have bound us for thousands of years. This game of building up civilizations and even building up the public and private trust under warlike conditions, or seemingly quote-unquote peaceful conditions, which we've been at war like since World War II and I don't know how many different countries, to a point only to tear down the civilization and place all of those. I mean, we had 10,000 ships after World War II in the United States Merchant Marine. They've all been sold off. They were built up under warlike conditions and then sold off so that a very small clique of elitists could profit from those ships that were built by the collectivists, the collection of all the people gathering together for this, you know, the war to end all wars, which was World War One, and then World War Two followed, and too many wars in between, and now we're being pushed into what some have termed as World War IV, because the Cold War was literally, to some extent, World War III. Back to Dr. Parker. I want to go ahead and bring up Anthony Hilder and some others real quick, and we'll open up. I don't know if we're going to have time to take some calls, but 800-313-9443. And Dr. Parker, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yeah, thank you, Eric.
Go ahead real quick.
Yes, and but the when the German company privately called, and I said, well, I won't mention your name when you call me, you know, but RWE told me that when somebody got a hold of the Rick Adams on the last hour when I was interviewed there, and I was talking about how the chloramine and the disinfectants were mutagenic, and which means they cause chromosome damages, and genotoxic, which means they have a formation there of the gene structure that is going to cause cancer. And I was also talking about the Rule of Decision Act, which is goes back to the 1700s here in the United States, where if they were to take over the water as they wanted to do in the United States, they would have to, and here it comes into admiralty law, they would have to allow federal common law to include the proprietary interests of the water to be owned by the United States. Otherwise, they could not actually be a business here. And they didn't want that. They wanted to own the water. And that came out of this transaction. And then the third thing was that I pointed out that ethanol, which is the present theme for energy conservation, it requires about 2.5 million gallons of water per day for every ethanol farm. And the ethanol byproduct is the other end of MTBE, which has contaminated every aquifer in America. Any engineer will tell you that it's going to take maybe 1,000 years to get MTBE out as a cancer-causing agent. And in order to get rid of that in the aquifer, you got to either close the wells like you're doing in a lot of states. And I had a mayor of Urbana, Illinois, talk to me and said, well, we have boil days here. And I said, well, how many boil days you got? He says, we really don't know, but we had to call the German company, and it took us 25 minutes to talk, and ended up talking to somebody from Germany. So this was the thing.
Crazy.
Yeah. This is real world, you know, in terms of how you develop this. And then I exposed the concept of recycled water, which is being made from sewage water, and that's being blended into the water, and that's in process of these partnership agreements, which are part of the cooperative business of taking over each little town's water district so that they can supplement recycled water in the drinking water.
But see, you're touching on so many areas that, and I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but a lot of the stuff that went on in the early 1900s into the 20s and 30s, it was actually done to supposedly help the small farmers. Like, say, a certain farmer had a bad batch of meat or cheese. It would be thrown into these large batches and mixed up so that the individual farmer would not lose. And these are programs of collectivism, communism.
I read about it. You really start to research
the roots of this, but then you tie it to corporations like McDonald's that has the beef of over 1,000 cattle in one patty. Mm-hmm. You start to see that what's happened is that these things that were intended supposedly to help the small farmer or individual are now benefiting the corporations and injuring all of us because they've been taken on. Like, you know, I think it's up to 15% bugs and miscellaneous parts you can have in cereal now.
That's exactly right.
These are all programs of collectivism that, like, even the ancient goldsmiths used to do, is to take a little bit of gold out and put in some other kind of precious or semi-precious metal to make a little bit more money, a little bit more profit. And at some point, as you whittle deeper and deeper and deeper into the gold, eventually there's no gold left, or you have, like, you know, even like I like to call them the golden calfers, and those who built the golden calf.
That's right.
And got all the people to throw in their rings and their necklaces and whatever other gold they had to build this thing up when they're drunk and stupid, and go ahead and then start to worship it and build a temple to it. These are false gods to false temples. We have lost our individuality. We have lost our property rights. We have lost our rights to protect and defend ourselves as individuals, because the only way to protect the collective is to protect the individual, the weakest link. And at some point, you don't protect the collective, quote-unquote, or the group or the nation by protecting, you know, on a broad-based program of saying, you know, we see how all this is going on with FEMA, Homeland Security and everything else. You bring it back home, and you have to protect things at home. And at some point, it has to be community-based to where, whether it's the water, whether it's somebody leaving to go into federal service in the military, the community must keep a track of these individuals and not let them get lost in the machine of the federal bureaucracy or even the corporation.
Absolutely. And what I call it is outsourcing our grandest and highest grade of food and other medicinals that we make. And we're sending them to other countries because that's part of the corporate contracts, because these contracts in medicine and law that govern these aspects have now been dictated by treaties of which we know nothing about.
Right, and they're all intended to protect the elites, the very top 10 percentile, and those who will serve them and help hide their secrets. And everyone else gets the refuse, whatever is left over. The garbage.
Well, I was told by the United Nations representative. It says whoever controls the water will control the food, and whoever controls the food will control the person. And I said, well, that's just what I wanted to hear, because I'm going to put forth the idea that if water is a right according to the United Nations, then people should have a right to vote what goes in their water.
More so into control. Go ahead.
There's also this. It's very good when he's talking about the water, and this is also a very overdosed nation in terms of these really bad medications with all of the antidepressants and things that are affecting people's brains. You know, this is George Bush's father, Papa Bush, used to sit on the board of Eli Lilly in Indiana, the big drug company that makes Prozac, and now we have some 10 million Americans who are out of their minds on these antidepressant drugs.
That's right, and when I first went out the door on the they're called endocrine disruptors. Is this Chris?
This is.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
The endocrine disruptors in the water. I was absolutely besieged by pharmaceutical companies trying to harass me for nearly 1 year. Do not tell the public that. And I went out the door with that in the Wall Street Journal, And the pharmaceutical companies did not like that at all. And now, of course, it's national, it's on the national program. But the whole thing comes down to the fact that if we do not do something different in terms of, and here's where we get into health insurance, if we do not find a way to change the way the corporate transactions are written for health insurance, we will definitely be under the control of pharmaceutical medicine. And the future of medicine is really gene therapy, see? And so we're getting into the position now where if you have a disease, your basic diagnosis is going to be based upon gene and DNA predictions, see? And that's for the pharmaceutical company.
Chris, guys, real quick, Anthony has to go, Anthony Hilder. Let me let him chime in real quick and go ahead and say his two-piece. Plug anything he has going on right now, anything he can say to kind of marry the issues and stuff. You know, he's done a lot already. Anthony, you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead and throw in your two cents.
Well, obviously, the evilarchy that controls this country and the world's commerce and currencies has to be destroyed. I want them to leave usefully. I'd like to see them used for medical experiments. And with that, gentlemen,
you can't lower yourself to their level.
Yes, I'll say goodbye to you all, and hopefully I'll be talking to Michael Collins Piper in the near future, and certainly Christopher and
myself included.
Hey, I enjoy your stuff, and I agree with you on many points here, and. Thank you for the invitation, and God bless the Republic.
It was nice to meet you, Anthony.
Okay. And listen, I've got the one thing I would like to talk to Dr. Parker about is a film that we're doing, which involves ethanol. So that you brought up something that I was unaware of, and I need to talk to you about the back-end negatives.
Yeah, I've got about 4,000 pages of science and plus treaties and contracts and
We're doing a film called The Winds of the Warlock, which is about the manipulation of the weather for a global government, and another thing called $10 a gallon gas.
I really look forward to talking with you.
Okay.
And Barbara will go ahead and make sure the two of you do connect. So.
Yeah, Barbara's got all the connection points.
All right.
Oh, yeah. And she's real good about that because she's also working on stuff with both of you, too. So.
Yeah.
Yes, goodbye and good luck. God bless you.
And just remember, something did happen on the 4th of July.
Yes.
You know, like the king there saying, well, nothing happened on this day.
Yeah.
And that was 4th of July that happened.
Well, I think there was also a comment by, I think it was Mao, who had said he was asked about the United States. And this was on our 200th anniversary, and he was asked, "Well, what do you think of the United States and democracy or whatever, and the republic?" And his comment was, "Well, it's too early to tell." And so, in this regard, with everything that's going on and all the forces that are coming together from many points around the world, all coming from the people, I think it's far too early to tell how this is all going to turn out. But I think it's actually going to turn out better for all the people, and that people are not only just waking up, they're starting to take action and make a concerted difference in what's going on.
Yes. Eric, could I ask a question to Mr. Chamish?
Please.
Yeah, I hope Barry Chamish is still on the line, because he knows so much, having lived in Israel, about the criminal nature of the Likud government and Shimon Peres and all this. I would like to ask him, what does he think about the role of Benjamin Netanyahu? You know, we know him to be the godfather of the concept of the war on terror. What is the role of Benjamin Netanyahu in this war on terror? And what does he think is the role of the Israelis in the attacks of 9/11?
Okay, Netanyahu has been a stooge of the Council on Foreign Relations since he was 24 years old. He was first asked by Ira Magaziner, who was Clinton's health advisor, to join the Boston group. It was a banking group. He made $150,000, went back to Israel to sell furniture for $15,000. Formed an anti-terrorism conference. Who showed up to this nothings? And I do mean nothings. Conference, George Bush, George Shultz, Richard Perle, the top heads of the CFR showed up for his conference. In 1982, he was made deputy ambassador to Washington, the second highest diplomatic post in the world. This furniture salesman, when asked why the advisor, Moshe Ahrens, international advisor to the CFR, said simply that Shultz, Perle, and Bush told him to do it. They were very impressed by him. He is a paid stooge of the Council on Foreign Relations, and that is a known fact. It's in my books. As for Israel's role in 9/11, there is nothing but nothing proven so far. Nothing.
Well, what do you make of the 60 moving men that were picked up and the 140 art students who were trailing these so-called Arab terrorists?
Well, first of all, I never heard the figure 140. I heard about all of this. Again, what do I make of it? So far, nothing. So far, these are people in the States selling pictures. Look, try and understand that the whole business of 9/11 has not been solved. First, solve the American point of view. First, solve who in the United States was behind it. Get that done. And if these Israelis were in there, they are a kind of Israelis who have nothing to do with the Jewish people, nothing whatsoever. And I have no problem if they're caught. But so far, you haven't caught anyone in America, so why worry about Israel?
Okay.
Well, we caught them in the act. We just haven't prosecuted them.
You prosecute them and then go after the Israelis and prove the Israelis. Believe me, I'm not in favor of any 9/11s that are done dirty. And I strongly suspect it was done
but
dirty.
Barry, what do you make of this relationship between Ehud Olmert and Menachem Atzmon?
That's one heck of a fine question. How do you know about that?
Well, they were forced to, in 1987, the two of them were forced to undergo investigation by the state controller for abusing the party funds of the Likud. How do you know that?
Right. Well, I'm a journalist, and I know that Ehud Olmert should have been a co-defendant, but he was released by...
Ehud almost should have been in prison.
But then he was eventually made a defendant. But in this case, Ehud Olmert was a co-defendant and a political ally with Menachem Etzmon.
That's right.
Etzmon, who oversaw, who ran the company that ran security at Boston's Logan Airport on 9/11.
Is that true?
Yes, of course. From it.
That's true. That's a fantastic. If that's true, that is fantastic.
Now you see why I wanted to bring all you people together. We're going to break. We got the music coming up. Hold on. We got the end of the show coming up, and we'll close it out here right after the break.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
There is one and only one National Populist News Weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel-cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Christopher Boland's been sitting in while he's been gone on travel for the last week, and I am in today. Eric Schein as a guest host. We've actually carried over the National Intel Report into the third hour. We have Michael Collins Piper on. We've had Christopher Boland on, Anthony Hilder, Dr. Wynn Parker, Barry Shamish, Howard Zinn, and we have a caller. I want to see if I can squeeze her in real quick. It's Leslie. Leslie, are you there?
Thank you so very much, and I'm very grateful for the show because there's so much information on your show. I obtained this from the World Affairs Brief from Joel Skolson, and I just want to get your take on it and from your callers there that you have. Ziad Abu Amor, A-M-R, he was at the Bilderberger meeting, which was June 8th, and he's the president of the Palestinians, a president of the Council of Foreign Relations. And the other one was Elva Gildy. He's head of the coordination strategy for Almart, another CFR member. What's so interesting about the situation is that the European builders had said that they would not fight for a war for Israel, and that basically they would have no part of the invasion of Iran. That's what it was implied. But isn't it interesting, all this information is at the Bilderberg meeting and these key players, and we're out of the loop. And I get the feeling, more than a feeling, that they're just nothing but a bunch of order takers.
Well, that may be. Do you have a question for one of the...
Yes, how would they view that in view of the time when this was said, and who this was said to, and what has happened on the Gaza Strip? It is, I'll tell you, you know, Roosevelt said that nothing happens by accident, but it seems like Joel Skolson's on to him. I'm talking about what was said, the information, and this confrontation that's going on. And if anybody had any information or could...
Wait, real quick, Leslie, we got like 2 minutes, and I hate to cut you short.
Yeah, I understand the time limit. But
No, real quick, and so let me see if we're going to end the show. This is the end of the show, but I'm going to go ahead and let one of the individuals, whoever wants to field this, whether it's Christopher Bolin or Barry or a combination thereof, Michael Collins Piper, I'm not sure if he's still even on the line right now, Mike.
Yeah, I'm here. I'd like to hear what Barry has to say about that.
I don't know. No Israeli, in theory, is supposed to be a member of the CFR. Only Americans are supposed to be members of the CFR. So who's Gilby?
Interesting question.
I don't know.
Chris.
Yeah, well, it's a good point that the attendees at Bilderberg and then the timing of this aggression in Gaza. I think that, you know, this is a crisis. We have a real crisis, and the Israeli government has to be held to account. And we really have to stop this because it's leading into another Middle Eastern war.
Well, you'd better stop killing Israeli soldiers if you're Hamas. That'll stop it.
Well, you come on. The Israelis
were
showing
dead Israeli soldiers
and bombing it on a daily basis.
Okay, three dead,
okay,
one kid.
That's the end of the show, people. And I ask that all the people that have been on the show, all the people that have been listening, combine your efforts, step forward, and stand tall now, or forever hold your peace.
Well said. Let's do it.
Amen.
Good night. Happy 4th of July.
Bye.
Take care. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.